Here with Rich Byrie. He started his career off at Rockhurst, played 4 years of D2, sat out his first year redshirt because he tore his ACL his senior year of high school, and he's grinded through, improved each year, was an All-American last year at the D2 level. Now he's back home at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And Rich, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
All right. So first thing is, let's take it back to high school. When you tore your ACL your senior year, 2 games into your senior year, what did that experience do for you mentally?
Honestly, at first it was tough. You know, it was the first game, or the second game of my senior year. I was expecting a big season. I came off a really good AU season. My dream, my goal was always to play college basketball, and so I had colleges on my radar.
Yep.
Some visits lined up, and then the first play of the second half, it's just a fast break. One of those plays I've done a million times in my career where I got the ball, was going up for a layup or a dunk, and then all of a sudden my knee just came out from under me, and I tore everything, and my body kind of just went numb at that moment. It's something I'll never forget, but looking back, it's something I'm not glad that happened to me, but it made me stronger in the long run, and just the support system, everything I went through mentally and physically, it made me stronger and a big reason why I'm here today.
Yeah, talk about the mental side a little bit more, because we're ACL brothers. I tore my ACL as well my senior year. But I just know how mentally grueling that could be, but you can really grow from it and turn it into from a negative to a positive. So talk about the mental side of things and how you grew from it.
No, for sure. It was tough because the second I tore it, it swelled up. I heard a pop. I kind of knew, you know, you kind of know, you know. And the tough part for me was his meniscus too. And so once I got that diagnosis a couple days later, obviously I went into shock and I was a little bit just teared up. I didn't really know what to do. My senior season was over for basketball and baseball. Of course, the first thing on my mind was like, wow, how is this going to affect me long term? And then, of course, once it got out that I tore my ACL, all the schools that recruited me shied away, took away their offers, took away their interest, didn't want anything to do with me. And so that part was tough. But fortunately, I found a great physical therapy team at Team Rehab in Wauwatosa. And my parents were incredible throughout the whole process and really, really supportive, especially in my darkest days when I needed it the most.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And do you think you would have become the player that you are today had you just went to D1 right away?
Definitely not, no, because it's a little thing just as taking for granted, such as walking or just going to be able to shoot. Like for 6 weeks, I was in a full restricted brace for, as you know, I couldn't walk. I had to get help using the bathroom, showering. So like I took everything for granted prior to that. And so once again, do I wish it would have happened? Probably not. But I think it made me a better human and a better basketball player in the long run.
No, I felt like the same way. Like it was just like it sucked. And you trained really well and you always looked like you were in shape, even when it happened. Me, I got a little bit, you know, I added a little, I was a little, I don't know what the right word, a little thicker.
Yeah.
A little thicker. I added a little layer. You know, it was winter, though. It kept me warm. But, that rehab, the meniscus, with the ACL, if you just go meniscus, it's much easier to stay in shape.
Exactly.
And it's a much easier recovery process. It's still terrible, but the meniscus, because at the age 17, 18, you can repair your meniscus. And when you get it repaired, you're locked in at 180 degrees for 6 to 8 weeks. And the first initial wave of the ACL meniscus combo, that's brutal. So it's a mental challenge, and I definitely think it's something where people, you know, the circumstances. There's a quote: the circumstances don't make the man; they reveal the man. You kind of got to dig down deep and grow from that experience. And obviously, you did. You're back playing D1 at Wisconsin Green Bay, which is awesome. So you kind of talked about this. If you could go back, would you change it, or would you keep everything the same?
You know, hindsight's always 20/20. Honestly, I'd probably keep everything the same because everything worked out, and I think it worked out for a reason. You know, Coach Diener at Rockhurst gave me an incredible opportunity. That was the one scholarship that remained faithful and loyal throughout the whole time. So I was able to take a visit down there. I love the school, love the campus. It was a great opportunity, not only basketball-wise, but academically too. And honestly, I probably would not change it, no.
Well, and talk about, because it takes a while, I would say, to become, you can become much more athletic than you were, but what point, how long did it take you to surpass the player you were your senior year?
Probably not so my junior, third year of college, because that first year I had to redshirt because I couldn't play yet, and I just had zero mental confidence in my knee. Every time I would jump stop, every time I'd go for a layup, I just didn't have the confidence that I'd come down and be okay. So that first year was tough because I was redshirting. I was going to all the games, cheering on my teammates, doing the best I could do to be the best teammate I could off the court. But just seeing my teammates go out there and play the game that I love for the second season in a row, because I had to watch the last 25 or so games my senior year, was really tough. And then, of course, my first year playing was the 2020-2021 season. So that was the COVID year. No one could come to the games. I had to wear this, as you know, this huge brace from about my quad to my shin.
Makes you slow as hell.
Really. And hard to jump, really heavy, and just really restricted my game. So it wasn't really until the summer of 2021 where I kind of, that mental barrier, I kind of pushed through it and became the player I am right now.
Awesome. Awesome. And was this always the goal? Were you going to play out your Division II career and then sit out your first year originally because we didn't know the COVID eligibility thing? But what's your plan to go redshirt your first year, 3 years at D2 and transfer to D1? Was that always the plan?
Honestly, that was not always the plan. The plan was to just play, take each year one year at a time. You know, with the knee, you never know when it's going to hold up or when you're going to have setback. Fortunately for me, I have not had a setback, and I don't foresee one coming. But no, it was just take one year at a time. Going into this past season, I wasn't sure what my plan was beyond this season. I just wanted to take it one week, one game at a time. And fortunately, put myself in a position by having a pretty solid season to be in the position I am right now.
All-American. He was an All-American at the D2 level, and he was 4% away from the 50-40-90 club, and you have to be an elite shooter. An elite shooter. If you look at the NBA, very few people make it to the 50-40-90 club. So, Rich is the real deal, and I'm really excited to see what he does at Green Bay. And why did you choose Green Bay? Why did you choose Green Bay over the other schools?
You know, it's a good question. The first couple days, I put my name in the portal. So I put my name in the portal 4 days after our season ended, and literally 7 minutes after I officially put my name in, I had schools calling me, emailing me, texting me, and it was a unique process for me because, like I said, my senior year, I tore my ACL, so it was the opposite. Schools were shying away. Yeah. They don't want anything to do with me. And then so once I had some good film out, put up some good numbers, a lot of schools wanted me, which was good for me mentally because I felt like, you know, feeling wanted is always a good thing. Yeah, so having options is a good thing too. But being 600 miles from home the past 4 years, I took a couple visits in March, and then just as soon as Coach Wicks called, he called me about 4 days after he got the job, I could hear his infectiousness and energy off the phone.
Sure.
We set up a visit shortly after, and on my visit, he just made my family and I feel really welcome. It was a really good experience, and I could just see the vision he had. And to be able to come home and play for a program that I grew up watching, watching players play in that program, and know a couple guys who played there, it was an opportunity I really couldn't pass up.
Oh, absolutely. And what's your first impressions? Have you met some of your teammates so far, and what's your first impressions of them?
I played against a couple of them over the past 4 years of my college career, and I've met a couple this summer. I'm really excited to meet the whole group. We definitely have a chip on our shoulder as a program that finished, I think, 3-27 last year. Mm-hmm. So I think the guys collectively want to get in there, work, and really put our stamp on the program.
Yeah, so, and Rich, I've known Rich for a few years now, and something I know about you is you're a true Wisconsin guy. You are a Wisconsin guy through and through. You know, there's very few people, in my opinion, that can keep up with me when it comes to Marquette, Wisconsin, UWGB, UWM, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, but Rich is one of them, and he might surpass me in all honesty, but Rich, just talk about that, coming home. How sweet is it to come home after this four-year journey?
It's awesome. I've been fortunate to go to a lot of sporting events over my 22 years here on this earth, but it's been awesome because the last 4 years have been in Kansas City where they love the Chiefs, love their sports, and I've been following from afar, you know, following the Bucks, Brewers, and Packers, but to be able to be in Green Bay, obviously I've been a diehard Packer fan. I have fond memories of going to Packer games with my dad, my brother, and my grandpa growing up.
Sure.
So to be 5-10 minutes from Lambeau and be around my favorite sports franchise of all time is just going to be an incredible, super, super cool opportunity.
Yeah, and in this offseason, now you're back home. I know you've been training a lot at Waukesha. What have you been focusing on in your training to make sure you have that big year?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing translation-wise between Division II and Division I is just the speed and athleticism. I'd say skill set is very similar.
Sure.
Having trained with Division I and pro guys the past 2 summers, I kind of have a good understanding of what it's like. But just working on explosiveness, agility, speed, and just differentiating myself between guys I'm going to be playing against and guys that I'm going to be competing against every week in practice.
All right, and what's the biggest like misconception that the average sports fan might have about players at the D2 level?
I think work ethic. I think guys think just because a guy is Division II, he's not entitled, doesn't really want to work as hard, doesn't really want to achieve that, strive for that greatness. But I think a lot of guys at the D2 level have that chip on their shoulder like, hey, I should be at the Division I level. There were definitely times during my career at Rockhurst where I felt like I was a lot better than some of the guys in my class at the Division I level, and that made me want to work even harder and just prove myself at that level. And to be able to prove myself the next couple of years at Green Bay is going to be something that I'm going to use for motivation every day.
And that's something that I find really interesting because in D2, there's guys like you, right? You were supposed to go D1 right away. You had an injury. And then there's other cases where guys are just late bloomers. And now with immediate eligibility in the transfer portal, you don't have to sit out. You can just transfer right away, and you have that COVID year, so a lot of guys are getting the chance to move from D2, D3 to move up a division. But, yeah, there's a lot of really good players who, by the time they're juniors, seniors, they're plenty good. Yep. They're plenty good. It's just for whatever reason, maybe they weren't ready by the time they were senior in high school to make that jump, but there's a lot of really good hoopers out there, and I don't think the average person understands that it's legit. D2 guys can hoop. Talk about your game a little bit. What is something in your game that you think will surprise people?
Something I take pride on is my versatility, not being labeled as a back-to-the-basket five or just a stretch four or just a guy who can shoot it. I feel like I can put it in the deck, take it to the rack, post up guys in the mismatch, or take bigger guys in the perimeter and blow by them or punish them inside. And I feel like part of the reason why I'm going to Green Bay is I feel like I won't be just stuck at one position. I'll be able to showcase that versatility, whether that be at the three, at the four, or the five, and playing with guys who can really complement my game.
All right. And the last question I got for you before a rapid fire round is take us through what a day in your life has looked like since your season has ended.
Yeah, I'd say it's been a pretty rewarding and pretty cool process because I kind of get to decide, you know, what I want to do.
Yeah.
As far as this feels good to be home, I have really good relationships back here with my trainers and everything. So typically wake up, eat some breakfast, and then go work out at a warehouse in Brookfield with my AU coach. And then I'll probably go to Lifetime and lift a little bit. And then I work out with a guy named Keith Kalfelt at the Pro Lane at Waukesha. And we do, like I said, alluded to, that agility, quickness, working on my lower half specifically. And then I'll work out with Luke Meyer in Brookfield and do some scenarios, some playing out of 2-on-2, 3-on-3. And then go home from there. I feel like, honestly, throughout this whole process, I feel like I've been a guy who's been overlooked. And so now that I've gotten some recognition, it's really only made me want to work harder and prove that recognition is legit.
Yeah, and you played pretty confidently last year, and I expect that confidence, you know, with this summer heading into next year, I expect the confidence to grow even more in basketball, as we know it was such a mental game. But as we were talking off camera, Rich has a voice. He has a voice for radio. I have a face for radio. You know, maybe we can make a good duel one day. But no, Rich, I think down the road, I have actually one more question for you. When you're done playing basketball, and you know, we talked about your passion for sports, the good voice you have, what do you think you want to do once your playing career is over?
Honestly, like you said, like I love sports. It's all I've ever loved, all I've ever known since I was a kid. So I want to work ideally in a front office someday, or maybe be a media personality or sports personality on a radio show or broadcast team.
Oh, and are you thinking of playing professionally?
Down the road, ideally after my couple seasons at Green Bay, pursuing my professional options is something I'd look at for sure.
All right, awesome. So that's all I got. We got one more round, a rapid-fire round, so I'll give you a bunch of questions, and you just answer in a timely fashion.
Sounds good.
All right, first one, Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre?
Aaron Rodgers, by far.
All right, you're wrong, but that's all right. Favorite UWGB player of all time?
My guy, Carrington Love.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Dogs or cats?
Neither.
Ooh.
Neither.
Oh, so Stella. I didn't realize. Yeah, you didn't want to talk to Stella there then. Favorite food?
Pizza.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Favorite animal?
I'm not an animal guy at all. I can't say any animal.
Yeah, you're a camera guy. Might not like that. Toughest player you've ever had to guard?
Oh, that's a good one. Toughest player I've ever had to guard.
Me?
Yeah, you got to be up there. I got switched down to him on a screen, and it was Tyler Hero, and he punished me, to say the least.
Okay. Favorite movie?
Hangover.
That's a good one. MJ or LeBron?
MJ.
All right. Hangover 2 or Hangover 3? I know the one's probably the best.
One is the best. Two was a swing and a miss. Three is funny.
Okay. And you, MJ or LeBron, you answered that one already?
MJ, yeah.
Okay, okay. Who is the best player in the world right now?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, I'm going with the Joker.
I don't know
the Joker
about that.
Now.
Does he have a ring?
Yeah, well, he's going to have one in like a week.
We'll see.
And back-to-back MVPs. But, I'd like to see that matchup in the finals.
Me too.
Little Bucks. Nuggets get two unicorns going head-to-head.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite sport outside of basketball?
Baseball.
Favorite musical artist?
Morgan Wallen.
Okay. Biggest pet peeve?
When people ask me the same thing twice.
I just did that. My fault. Favorite city you've ever visited?
Boston.
Favorite type of workout?
Shooting workout.
Least favorite type of workout?
Conditioning.
All right. And that is my guy, Rich. Check him out at Green Bay this year. He's going to have a big year. I fully expect big things from him, and he deserves the success that he's going to have. I'll throw his social medias down in the description. And, Rich, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Yes, sir.